Hi, today is September 26, 2021. This is Mobile Views Podcast 377. I'm Todd Agasawart, my good friend John Westfall. And before we really get started, I just wanted to wish a little bit early happy birthday to Windows CE. For those of you who don't remember, that's what the operating system for Microsoft that was on the handheld PC. And for those of you who don't remember that, you might remember the Palm-sized PC, which then got sued by Palm, so Microsoft renamed it Pocket PC. And a whole bunch of us on this podcast really met through Windows CE and its technical descendants from Microsoft. So it's been a...
I remember the only Windows CE device I ever owned that wasn't a Pocket PC, because I came along a little bit later. I actually never owned a Windows CE device, but the only one I ever saw and played with, I'll never forget, was at a 4th of July fireworks meetup with some friends. And a friend of mine who was a fellow geek had bought one off eBay, a couple years after they came out. So he found one that was relatively cheap. And of course, sitting on the lawn next to a community college that had no Wi-Fi, there was absolutely nothing you could do with it.
It didn't have Wi-Fi.
That's true. But Wi-Fi had just started to come out. This was around the early 2000s. So it was more of a novelty to look at this thing. And wasn't it cool that it was running some version of something called Windows?
Yeah.
And then later, of course, when we got into the Pocket PC era, Windows CE stuck around with us. Every so often, you'd see some reference to CE, even though Microsoft rebranded it from Windows CE, then forked it to Pocket PC, and then forked that to Windows Mobile and all these other things.
Windows Phone. Yep. Very true. So a bunch of our guest panelists, Sven and Johan and Jack Cook and all those kind of folks, Frank, they all come from. We wouldn't know each other if not for this platform, I think.
Yeah.
You know, so it's kind of...
I think that's a fair statement.
It's pretty amazing. So you never even used a handheld PC Pro or handheld PC 2000, any of those kind of things?
No, I never had one. Wow.
Those are great. I really love those devices. Anyway.
The closest thing I think I ever got to that form factor and that style was the... HTC Universal, the iMate Jazz Jar that I still own today, which was the Pocket PC version. And that was a great little device. Every so often I pull it out and show it off to people and just go, this is more capable in a lot of ways than some of the stuff I carry around every day. And just that it had a great keyboard, it was the right size. You get a lot of work done on that little thing.
Yeah, I had an We'll grab some friends and reminisce as we get closer to the November 26th actual announcement date for Windows PC. 25th anniversary, I'll mention again. But I had a HP Jornada 720, which was a handheld PC. It had a great little keyboard, but very typable. I actually typed a book chapter in that thing.
Wow.
Not because I had to. Well, actually, I did kind of had to, because this was back when I was actually spending a lot of time waiting for my daughter to finish things. She was in grade school. And, you know, I'd be sitting around waiting for her in a car or on a bench or, you know, wherever it was appropriate to wait for my daughter. And, I can knock out a couple of paragraphs right here. You know?
Yeah.
And it was wonderful. So anyway, we'll ask some of our other MVP, former MVP friends, Windows Mobile MVP friends to reminisce with us over the years. And in fact, we'll see Frank McPherson, because I don't know if you know this, Frank McPherson and I actually go back to about 96 or 97, right after I became the Windows CE forum manager for Microsoft, a contracted position. I was not a blue badger, as they say. Anyway, 25 years, it's pretty amazing. You know, if you think back where you were 25 years ago. Okay, so... today is pretty much all Apple.
Yeah.
The first thing I wanted to mention is, I was thinking it's mostly for older folks like myself, but Apple's take on it is good for anybody. It turns out that iOS 15 adds something called walking asymmetry metrics from your iPhone, not your watch. So it depends on your iPhone for the metrics. And it measures how steady you are when you walk. And apparently, although it's only revealed now. If you go to your Apple Health app and you take a look at walking asymmetry, which I have added to my favorites, it has data on me going back a year.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, which same here. Yep, I didn't know about that. What is this? Announce calls when supported headphones. Yeah, that's fine. I guess I haven't used my iPhone with the iOS 15, with headphones, and since I upgraded to iOS 15 last week, and it just said since I have my AirPods on, do you want to announce calls when you have earphones on? I said, yeah, sure, why not. Any rate, so happy to say I had 0% walking asymmetry yesterday, although I had 0.21 over the last week, so I am, you know, not perfect. My walk is not perfect.
My yearly average is 0.63.
Yeah.
So a lot of days of, you know, zeros, but every so often.
Yeah.
You
know. Yeah. Something happens, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, interesting data that I didn't know it was collecting on me. So a little bit Big Brotherish, but that's okay. I'm good with it. Okay. Next up, we got to talk. So John and I both got our iPad mini 6s. This past Friday, because we were fortunate or smart enough to order early enough, because I understand those ship dates are slipping. So overall, how do you like it so far, John?
You know, I had forgotten just how nice of a size it was for reading and watching videos. Mm-hmm, you know, I've been using the full-size iPad Pro, the 11-inch, not the 12-inch. Right. But that had been what I would lie in bed and watch TV on or something like that. And you really can't one-hand that thing. I mean, you can, but your arm will get tired.
Yeah.
The iPad mini is the right size for it. I got that set up on Friday and watched a couple episodes of Star Trek Friday night.
Nice.
And just really enjoyed being able to move around a little bit easier without having to lug the iPad. And plus, I don't worry so much about if it falls on my face. You know, it's a little lighter. And it's less likely to do that being a little less weighty. And then yesterday I was using it in the evening, just kind of texting a few people. And it's a capable enough texting device. While my iPhone was in the other room, it was easy enough to send some messages over iMessage. So, yeah, I set mine up completely new. I didn't restore from any backup. Okay. Just because I was curious what default widgets and default things Apple is doing these days. So I've kind of kept it. I've been trying to keep it somewhat sparse. I'm only installing apps that I actually need at the moment to use. So I did install the Office tools, Microsoft Office and OneNote and a few other things that I might need when working. Because we'll talk about this a little later, you know, what are scenarios where you might actually need two iPads at the same time instead of multitasking?
So. Yeah. So I went.
What have you been doing with yours?
First of all, I set up mine exactly the opposite of you. I decided to import or restore, I should say. I decided to restore from my iPad mini 5 configuration or backup.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did that, and it's interesting, you know, because when you set it up, one of the first things it says, if you want to restore it from another iPad, put it next to the iPad or iPhone. And so I put it next to my iPad mini 5, and absolutely nothing happened. So I put it next to my iPhone 12 Pro, and it immediately said, hey, you want me to set up? Yeah, so, you know, that half the instructions worked okay. So after I restored from the iPad mini 5 backup to the 6, the first thing I tried, since I use it so often, is Microsoft Teams. In fact, John and I are recording Microsoft Teams right now. And while Microsoft Teams launched, and I could see all the accounts that I have associated with it, including this one that John and I used, a personal account, none of the data was synced, you know, none of the messages we had sent previously or anything like that. So I had to actually uninstall, sign in, uninstall, re-download it, sign in, and then it worked fine, so no problems. The other thing I noticed is that and the reason I restored rather than did a fresh like John is I'm too lazy to type in my Wi-Fi passwords and all that stuff again and sign into everything. But so interestingly enough, it inherited the Bluetooth pairing for only Apple devices, so it knew about my AirPods Pro. It knew about my Beats Flex, but it didn't know about, say, my Anker Bluetooth keyboard or other Bluetooth devices, which is okay. I had paired it with too many things anyway. including a insulated cup, which has a speaker built in. So that was, I can't remember. I thought that was a little bit unexpected, but it was okay. I bought the Smart Folio. Did you buy that, or are you going to buy a third party?
Yeah, I did buy the Smart Folio as well,
which is overpriced, and I'm like all Apple cover products, which have all disappointed me, and why I bought a lot of third party over the years is this was like $60, wasn't it? I think it was $60 for this Smart Folio, which covers the back and the front. With a nice cutout for the camera, and I'm just a little worried about how durable it is, but we'll see. For $60, it should last longer than me, but, you know, who knows? That's not been my experience with other Apple covers. And the final thing I wanted to mention was, it's kind of related. It's the fingerprint ID on the on-off button at the top, which works surprisingly well for me. What's your experience so far, John?
So I thought for sure I was going to really love getting Touch ID back on a device, and it works, and it works fairly well. Yeah. I've never used Touch ID in the, you know, in this setting where you rest your finger on the button to open and that sort of thing. But the thing that sort of shocked me was I missed Face ID. I had thought for a long time now that Face ID was kind of more annoying than Touch ID, but there have been times where I was holding the device and thought, oh, now I got to reach up and touch that button.
Yeah.
So it is one of those things where I do firmly believe it'd be great to live in a world where we had both.
Yes.
But we're not quite there just yet.
And I gotta say, that's an interesting observation because, you know, I have the only iPad I have that does Face ID is the iPad Pro 2020. So this is the ARM-based one, not the M1-based one from this year. And it works really well. The Face ID works really well. And I do kind of wish we had both options, you know, both Face ID and Touch ID. But that said, the Touch ID works a lot better than it did on my, you know, like iPad Pro 2018 or, you know, whatever that was.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the weird things is because Apple, you know, is trying, I think it's trying to reduce its clueless interface. It actually, if you in portrait mode, where you would normally see the battery level percentage, you now see the word Touch ID with a, you know, with a little white bar to indicate you should touch your on-off button to unlock it. So you can't see your battery level if you're holding it with a lock screen on in portrait mode. You can, however, see it if you're in landscape mode. So, you know, all is not lost, but just a little problem. Other than that, I am very pleased with it. I bought another Apple Pencil too because I didn't want to, you know, lose it and not be able to do my daily doodle. So I now have two Apple Pencil 2s, one dedicated to this iPad Mini 6, which works really well. I have to say, you know, it's unless you use it a lot, you may not notice it, but the Apple Pencil 2 is so much better than the original Apple Pencil. And not just because it won't roll off the table or have that ridiculous, you know, lightning charging connecting issue, but it's really nice. I haven't really done anything.
I have my Apple Pencil 2, and I have been swapping around from the different devices. And it, aside from this morning, where one time I had used it on the Mini, and then I went to use it on the full size iPad again, and I had to kind of take it off and re-put it back on for a couple seconds. I didn't have to do anything other than just take it off, put it back, but it's worked fairly well. I do think the Quick Notes feature I probably will be likely to use on both devices, but in terms of when walking, definitely more on the iPad Mini than when having it up on a lectern. I use my iPad a lot on the lecterns at work when I'm, you know, looking at my notes or teaching. So I think that's where I'm likely to do it quite a bit.
Oh, and before I forget, I want to thank John for, you know, going along with my lack of knowledge. So I tested shared notes with him on my new iPad. I thought this was a new thing, but John tells me this has been around for a long time.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
I've actually used this with trip planning. Friends of mine, when we went to Disney in 2019, we used it. And it was really kind of nice because everyone could just edit the notes and we had our itineraries and everything in there. And, yeah, shared iCloud notes are functional. we just don't think about them very often because it's one of those features Apple just doesn't talk about that much.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I just thought I'd check. Oh, iPad Mini 6 supports spatial audio, which the 5 did not. So, yay, mm-hmm. iPad Mini 6. And as I think, I said last week or the podcast before that, when John tried to convince me that I wasn't listening correctly. he's right. Boy, spatial audio is kind of amazing. So I'm glad that it's supported on the iPad Mini 6. I kind of wish we could do, it'd be too fancy for us, or for me at least, but, you know, if we could do spatial audio for these podcasts where, you know, you're on one side and I'm the other, I guess we could do that, but it would take more fussing around than I'm willing to do, so we won't do it.
Yeah, we're not that fancy of people.
Yeah, yeah. That reminds me, you know, one of the things Apple demoed during the announcements for the Mini 6 and iPhone 13 was, what is it called? It's not Ferret. It's like Farah. It's a podcast app that they demo. Let's see. iOS Farah? No, podcast. Let me see. What is it called? Farin? I can't remember. But I still, the problem with the oh, here, Farah. I guess it's Farah. No, it's something else. None of them will record over, you know, both people need to be in the same room is the problem. Mm-hmm. And that's only happened once or twice when I've done it with some friends who are locally available for a mini podcast. But at any rate, I'll go back to it again and take a look. I looked for iOS Farah podcast. Instead, I got a whole bunch of things on affirmation and Positive Affirmations podcast and Best Affirmation podcast. Anyway, a lot of
unexpected
things.
You know, you're just getting into very positive territory there.
But anyway, you know, I really haven't fussed with a camera or anything like that in this thing yet.
I do have a question. We don't have this in the show notes, but I'm curious if you started using or playing out with or trying out Focus groups or using the focus feature in iOS 15 to basically have a work focus, a home focus, driving, all those things.
I have not. Have you?
Yeah. So I started playing around with this at the beginning of the week just to see how well it would work. And it works okay for. So here's my dilemma. I don't have a set group of people that should be able to contact me because my students can theoretically contact me at any time. Mm-hmm. So I was not getting a bunch of emails because I had my work focus on, and even though I had the notifications enabled for my mail client and Outlook,
right,
it didn't always catch the right people because there's also in the options there the ability to filter by people, and I don't think I'm looking again right now. There's not a way to just say all people. You know, you have to literally say, I want, I guess you can do phone calls from everyone, but if I want notifications from everyone, that becomes problematic. And you can customize these. I guess you could load a bunch of different people in, but right now I am finding it useful, not so much for the built-in options they give you, such as personal and work. Driving is rather interesting. It's the evolution of do not disturb mode while driving. So I used that this morning. I actually enabled it to see how I like it. So my mother texted me while I was driving, and she got a message back saying I'm in focus mode while driving. Hmm. And if this is urgent, say urgent, and the message will go through again. If it's not urgent, I'll see it when I get, you know, where I'm going. I set up a... Go ahead.
Is driving mode something, I'm sorry, is it something you set up custom? Because I don't see that as a preset.
It's the evolution of do not disturb while driving. If you have a vehicle that you connect up to with Bluetooth, it'll probably prompt you at some point saying, do you want to set this up? Or if you go into do not disturb settings, it might have it in there. But it's an interesting idea that, you know, do you want to basically have just certain notifications at certain times. I did set it up a special one for when I'm in church, because I figure that's one place I probably should not have a ton of notifications coming in and bombarding me. And I have it turn on automatically geolocated, so that's kind of a nice thing. It worked really well this morning. So yeah, I think it's a fun thing. Well, the thing I think is really nice, though, that we didn't have with Do Not Disturb mode in the past was synchronizing it across all devices.
Yeah.
Because I could put a Do Not Disturb mode in on my watch that would synchronize to my phone, but my iPads were completely out in the dark. Now, if I set it on my phone and I say I want to go into, you know, my work Do Not Disturb for an hour, if I look at all of my devices, I'm now in work Do Not Disturb for the hour. So it's kind of a nice ability now to set it once and have it go everywhere. And I know that it will eventually come to macOS when we get the Monterey update.
Yeah, that reminds me, speaking of updates, so, you know, so when I opened my, well, let me see if this is true or not. When I opened my, okay, when I restored my iPad Mini 5 data files configuration to the iPad Mini 6, I had already upgraded to iOS 15 on the iPad Mini 5, and it showed it as being installed on iPad Mini 6 when I did the after the restore. But then it did another update, and I can't figure out what it updated because it's not 15.1 or, you know, anything like that. It was just, it's still 15 or whatever it is. It's still, yeah, it's still 15.0. Yeah. So, and the other, oh, wait a minute. Now it just got fixed. How weird. I was going to say my Apple Care wasn't reflected properly. It showed it was only 1 year, but now it's showing expiring correctly on in 2023. So, oh, well, funny. I just filled out the Apple support survey and said, hey, my Apple Care is wrong.
Mine did the same thing. I haven't checked, though, but I noticed that it was only giving me the year, and I assume it's probably updated now, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
So did you go with the Apple Care one-time payment, or did you add it in as a monthly until you say no more?
I did a one-time payment for 2 years.
Yeah, I actually went monthly with mine. I went monthly last year with my iPhone just because I don't know how long I will have it, and I like the idea that you can keep it kind of in perpetuity.
Yeah.
So I'll see if I live to regret that or not. I guess if I don't live to regret it, then I really should have just gone for the 2 years.
Yeah. Well, and if you, well, you know, it's a funny thing, right? So I rarely buy extended warranty for anything except Apple products because I have used them.
Yeah.
You know, not for every device, but I've used it enough times that, like my daughter's iPod Touch, if you remember that device. My daughter's very careful with her stuff. You know, she doesn't toss stuff around. But for whatever reason, her iPod Touch died twice. And AppleCare covered it both times. So, you know, no complaints. I also had an iPad. Well, my iPad Pro 2020, which I kind of do have a complaint. But I did exercise a replacement on it once. I think I can do two. And it still has the same problem, although not as frequently, which is the green line coming down about a third of the way through every now and then. Not always, but every now and then. So, oh well. But yeah, let's talk about your one more thing about the iPad 6 I have not seen, and I've looked for it. I was just reading this morning about something called jelly scrolling, and I said, what is that? So people complain that if you scroll really fast on an iPad Mini 6, one side, I can't remember if it's right or left, I think it's the right, scrolls slower than the other, so you see kind of a you know, a jelly-like effect of the screen versus a smooth scroll. I tried it with a web page. I didn't see it, so maybe my eyes are so old I can't see this, you know, subtle effect. But you seen anything like that, John, or heard about it?
I have not, but I haven't gone to look at it, and I will have to start keeping an eye out now that I know this exists. But yeah. No, I did not know about it.
Yeah. And our buddy SIRI just answered us for some reason when I asked you that question. So I don't think you heard that. I heard it in my AirPods. It kind of drowned you out, actually. But yeah, you know, and maybe it's because I don't scroll like super rapidly. I'm usually reading. So maybe for people like me, it's not going to be an issue. I'm watching your cat behind you. Just
yes.
Grooming and enjoying
it. Hanging out there. Yeah, well, that's a cat's life, you know. I wish we were all so fortunate.
Yeah, it's very entertaining, I have to say. I'm enjoying it tremendously. Anyway,
so
your scenario.
Yeah, so Monday of this week, I had a scenario happen where I thought, gee, if I only had that iPad I'm getting on Friday, this would be a lot easier. I've been using a piece of software called Explain Everything. I mentioned it a few weeks ago. It's a paid service that allows me to do a collaborative whiteboard, and you can record yourself and do a bunch of cool stuff with that. And so to kind of keep my students on track, keep me on track, mostly my students, I doodle on it. You know, I use it as a whiteboard instead of having to use the whiteboard behind me, because then I can keep an eye on my students, and, you know, it's off to the left side, you know, in their line of vision. So I thought about it this week, and I had OneNote, and then I had Explain Everything, the two apps, and I didn't want to be using multitasking to swap between them, because it just was getting to be kind of a pain to have to drag over and all that. And I didn't want to do split screen, because that would take up more space that I could be using for doodling. And so I just had my iPhone sitting there with my notes in OneNote next to my iPhone or my iPad, and thinking, boy, a bigger screen on an iPad mini right now would be really nice for these notes versus my iPhone. And of course, ironic, because of course the iPhone 12 Pro Max screen and the iPad mini screen are not that far in terms of difference. It's not like back in the day when we had an iPhone 3 and an iPad mini or something along those lines. But it got me thinking about what are times when you want multiple devices, multiple iPads, instead of the multitasking that Apple offers. Multitasking is great, but sometimes you need multiple. And so I was curious if you've ever had a use scenario where you have multiple tablet devices up, or if this is just me having a weird moment where I wanted to have multiple things.
Well, it's not something I have to do, but I do it every day, actually. And it's a very, you know, personally unique thing. I don't think anybody else but me needs to do it this way. I just like to do it this way. So, you know, I have my daily doodle project, which I have mentioned probably far too frequently on this podcast, where every night I spend, you know, 15 to 30 minutes doing a little doodle for my own entertainment and enjoyment. And I share it with my daughter, but, you know, and some friends. But that's it. It doesn't go anywhere else. And the way I do it is I have an iPad Pro. I have two iPad Pros. One iPad Pro is to put on a TV show or movie or something that entertains me while I doodle, because doodle doesn't need full focus. And the other iPad is for the actual doodling. I should also note, I usually have a Chromebook with a reference photo on it for my doodles. So I usually have three screens on for my 30-minute, you know, doodle session. But like I said, I don't think anybody else needs to do it that way. It's just the way I like to do it.
It is funny how you find these things where you would never tell someone this is how you should use this, but this is how I use it all the time.
Right.
And I see that with occasionally with colleagues, and I often see it more with students where they don't realize they're doing something different than everyone else. And so I think years ago, I've mentioned this story a couple times, I had a student that was bringing up a presentation or something in PowerPoint or Excel. I think they had Excel open and they were doing something, and they reached on to the ribbon and they hit a button. And that button, I forget what it did, but it was amazing to me, because every other time I'd ever done that function in Excel, I had to go into a menu and, you know, click a few things, and it was a multi-step process. And they had this button that magically had always been there for me, but now I knew how to use it. And so it's ironic that you can be a computer geek and not know how these things work, and then have people just show you something. And I actually talked about this a bit this week, talking about life hacks and a study run years ago, looking at flexibility and mindset and those sorts of things. But you can all, I guess the end point of this little side trip is that you can always learn more than you think about computers or about life just by watching other people.
It's a very useful thing to do, you know? And as I sometimes tell my daughter, or sometimes I try not to do it anymore. When I used to be a little bit younger and a little bit more ornery, I used to tell people, you know, you can't learn while you're talking. You need to listen sometimes. Which is not actually true. Sometimes while you're talking, an idea strikes you because of something you said to yourself or someone else. But in general, I think it's a true statement. That's about all I got. It was all iPad mini for the last 48 hours for me. Actually, a little bit less than 48 hours. It's, you know, it's nothing shocking. I kind of do miss the mini plug earphone jack, but, you know, it's not the end of the world, and I can still use a I can still use a USB-C. Oh, I got to say, it's so nice to have a USB-C power port interface on this thing. I think it charges a lot faster than my Mini 5.
I now have two USB-Cs next to the bed for charging iPads and two Lightnings and everything else. So two charging pads. I'm all wired up over there. And the cats, love to knock them over and knock them off of things. And
sure, that's what cats do.
Inductive charging is not as great as you think when you have cats. Because sometimes they knock devices off of the pads that you were so careful to lay them onto.
Now, you have both Qi chargers and USB Lightning cables. So, which do you use more frequently?
Mostly Qi chargers. One of the Qi chargers is Apple's charging mat that has the Apple Watch charger along with it.
Oh, you remember you bought that,
So, if I unplug that, I get a Lightning cable out of it. So that's usually the rare times when I do want to hook up something directly to Lightning. I'll just unplug that and use it. But most of the time, everything else I do can charge off a Qi charger. My AirPods Pro sit on a Qi charger most of the day when I'm not using them. And then they're ready for the next day. And it's nice to have these options. But like I said, don't let cats near them because the cats will just throw them into random places.
I'm sure dogs do the same thing, but although they don't tend to climb on things the way cats do in general.
No.
Okay, we have come to the end of another podcast. This is 377, almost all iPad mini with a little bit of recollection about Windows late mobile platforms that John and I both use, and how we met, and met a bunch of our friends like that. Anyway, we'll talk to you next time. I'll start inviting some friends who, went down that MVP road with us over the decades. So we'll talk more about this as we continue on with the 25th anniversary of Windows CE. We'll talk to you next time.